You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Our live guests, which is fantastic, and they're here to come talk about a new play they're putting on. We have Lara McGregor and Tabitha Littlejohn coming through to talk about their new play, Every Brilliant Thing. I will give a disclaimer: if you are unsettled or triggered by any corridor about mental health, depression, or I'll just say the word suicide, the S word, I'd advise you tuning out until 10:15 after this corridor. But good morning to you, Tabitha and Lara. How are we both feeling?
Oh, fabulous. Morena to you.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Feeling good on this lovely sunny day?
Yes, it's beautiful. People don't know what they're missing. They don't live here.
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Nothing beats a dunna stunner, as they like to say. Yeah. How do you both find, how do you both navigate winter? Are we feeling all good? Do we have some winter blues?
I thought it was quite warm this winter, I'll be honest.
Really?
I went to the beach quite a few times.
Really? Swimming? Oh, okay.
I didn't swim, but my partner did.
True. That's freaky as.
I went to Europe.
Sorry.
So you had two summers.
38 degrees.
Two summers.
That's a really good solution.
That sounds so wanky. No, but it was pretty damn beautiful.
Yeah, it would be. And I mean, that's the best time to leave the city.
Yeah, but it's so great to be back. I love it here. I really, really do.
It's a great spot. There's lots of like weird creative energy kind of floating around the place that you can like pick up and draw inspiration from, you know.
That's exactly it. Yeah. There's so many artists that live in the city and do so many amazing things, you know. Theatre makers or jewellery makers or fashion designers or radio hosts or, you know, like it's out there. It's just, it's a great energy to be around.
It is. I don't know if you all have seen the Shane Carter documentary.
Not yet.
Shane
I'm going
Carter.
On the weekend because it's back.
Nice.
It's
yes.
back on at Rialto and Reading.
And Reading, yeah. Well, there's a sort of thing you pick up on that film because they talk a lot about Dunedin, obviously, and just how like kind of weird, dark, a little bit depressing Dunedin is, and how that's really been a massive force for the creative industries here.
Yeah, you know? Were you there at the film festival?
Oh,
showing
so I got sent a screener in advance.
Oh.
And I loved it. It was so good.
Shall I one up you?
Yes, please, please do, please do.
It's not really.
Go off.
But so Shane was living at our house when he wrote his book.
Really?
Dead people I know.
In Aramoana?
In Carey's Bay.
In Carey's Bay,
are,
right, yeah.
And so he was jumping between a couple places, but he wrote a bit of it at our place.
Mm.
And he got his car stuck on the driveway. Poor Shane. Oh. Because we're on a walking track.
Yeah.
So we had to get the old towie down there to help him out.
Does that make it into the book?
I don't think so. he's a real icon. Eh?
Well, I can one up you again. I am Shane Carter. it's a good time. Now, this new play, Every Brilliant Thing, it is opening next Wednesday on the 10th of September. How is everyone feeling in advance?
We're
feeling ready?
We're pretty calm.
We are really calm actually.
Yeah. Is it calm before the storm or just calm in general?
I think it's just, well, it better be just calm. I'll be a little bit disappointed if there's a storm.
It's calm because it's like a different fish to fry, this one. It's basically the audience and the actor. So there's no set, no costume, but they won't be naked, they'll be dressed. But you know, no costume changes, no lights. And we have sound, which Tabitha is the designer and controller of.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an interesting premise that has been exceptionally popular around the world. It's
72 countries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's currently on in London, and Lenny Henry and Minnie Driver and one of the original creators, Johnny Donohoe, are performing it, you know, alternate nights. And we have two actors or two comedians that perform alternate nights. So Harriet Moyer, who's hysterical, and Gregory Cooper, who is a longtime collaborator, he and I, and he's just spectacular. He has an improv background. So, yeah, part of it's scripted, part of it's improv. And it does touch on very serious subject matter, but the play is not serious. So it's how would you describe it?
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but funny things.
And it's just delightful. Like it's...
It's like a warm hug.
Yeah.
It's like you come in for a hug with a whole lot of people you don't know.
Woohoo! That's awesome.
But, yeah. But you won't be forced to hug anyone if you come.
No, yeah. No.
You have bodily autonomy. Yeah.
It's like the hardest, you know, one of the hardest things to sell, you can imagine, we'll talk about suicide, depression, there'll be some jazz in there, and we'll also have audience interaction.
Mm.
So come along.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, most people hate audience interaction. But this is voluntary. Like, you do not have to participate if you don't want to. You
right.
can totally just not participate.
On a touch on that in a second. But something I've noticed recently is that there seems to be an uptake in one-person plays. Bands are getting smaller. DJs are getting really popular.
Yeah.
Do you think these trends of sort of singular creative forces are due to the harsh economic conditions we find ourselves in?
100%. Mm. In fact, 150%, 200%,
500%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
420%. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you look at, you know, massive funding cuts throughout the country, and definitely post-COVID, not just the core funders like Creative New Zealand, but as the smaller trusts that you can apply for funding for things towards your production, maybe set build and so forth, they're just all having to tighten. So absolutely it's a trend and a disappointing one, because who you can only, you'll get sick of just seeing one person on stage. It's like people, you know, you can't always, back in the day when Roger Hall was sort of saving theatres by his shows because audiences would come to them, you can't do Roger Halls all the time, as much as that would be, you know, wonderful. People get, they need variety and they need challenge and, you know, and... Yeah, and next year I'm doing another one person play. But that's
you're part of the problem.
That's it. Yeah, I am part of the problem. But I have a six-hander that I want to do the year after. But it's just par for the course at the moment.
Now, you mentioned that this thing is scripted improv, audience and participation. What does the audience participation look like?
It's like a lot of there is one character, and that character has many people in their lives.
Mm.
And so they might ask you to be a character in their life.
Mm.
True. But you don't have to do much.
No, and you get guided. You get guided.
Okay.
And if you do literally nothing, they'll take that as well. And, like, they're really good improvisers. So they'll basically tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you just...
Go with it.
Yeah. If you go with the flow, you'll be fine.
Now, you've said that the two cast members are comedians. Do you think that them being comedians kind of leans into a natural improv talent and that synergizes well with the show?
Totally. You've got good questions, Zach.
Thank you.
100%. That's why I cast them.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't cast someone who didn't have those skills.
No.
It would be death.
Yeah, that would be, totally.
Excuse the terrible metaphor.
Because I think, you know, there's a sort of resilience you build up as a comedian that you probably wouldn't build up as an actor. Like, if you mess up on stage as an actor, that's totally different to bombing as a comedian, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But a lot of actors just don't even have that basic, not that it's a basic skill, it's not, they don't have that skill.
Mm.
And to ask an actor that doesn't have that skill to do that is actually really... you just don't want to put actors in a
comfortable position. No, it's uncomfortable. It's mean.
Position
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like Stanley Kubrick type of energy. Just
exactly.
Throw someone into the deep end.
Yeah, woohoo.
Yeah. Now, this show opens on World Suicide Prevention Day, which is no coincidence, as I've mentioned before, about the mental health themes. You've mentioned that it tackles these topics in a way that's humorous and uplifting. How does it do that?
Do you want me to start and you can
start okay. And I'll say things.
Because everything I've seen, there's like no revealing about the plot or anything.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I can give you the title of the play, which is Every Brilliant Thing, is based around the main character, which is your actor. And when they were seven, they started a list of every brilliant thing in the world to give to their mum in the hopes that it might make her happy, because his mum was... or her mum, often very unhappy and had a couple of trips to the hospital and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the list starts.
Right.
And the audience, when they come in at the top, you know, into the space, when they come into Dunedin North Intermediate or Waitati Hall, if the case may be, they are given some of the things that are on this list, and they're asked to call those out through the show. And so the whole premise is already starting in a sort of a pool of hope, because they're just delightful things. What are some of the things that stick out for you, Tabitha?
Knowing someone well enough to check your teeth for broccoli.
Yeah, there's like just really delightful, and you know, track 7 of every good record. And there's, you know, and speaking of records, there's a lot of reference to vinyl, a lot of love for music, and the sleeves of, you know, opening a record, an album up, and reading all the detail on the sleeves of the album, and music has played a big part through it, especially in the memory of the parents around the kitchen table and so forth. And it's just light and delightful.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then where the sort of true comedy comes in is when the actors are improvising with the audience based on what the audience gives them.
Yeah.
And that's just the magic of something new happening every night.
Mm. And it sounds like, I mean, what you just said, it sounds like it's grounded in a sort of coping mechanism as coping with tragedy from a child's view.
Absolutely.
Which, you know,
it moves through
beautiful.
From a 7-year-old right through to teenagehood and into adulthood.
True.
So it gives you the whole shebang, really, of how I was when I was 7 and I didn't know what was going on, to I knew what was going on when I was a teenager but I didn't cope with it.
Yeah.
And how important it is to talk about these things. You know, we're in a part of the world where our suicide rates are so exceptionally high with the farming industry, with the building industry. And of course, we've got wonderful support networks like Life Matters and the Hope Centre here, which they've really supported us in terms of applying for funding to do the show and to giving us resource to have at the venue in case it is triggering for anyone, because we do talk about it. We talk about the rules around what not to say about it, when, you know, like, and what to say about it. It's not a lecture. It's, you're not going there for that at all. It's shared experience.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I think everyone can relate to. Everyone's had pretty dark thoughts from time to time. I know I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very normal.
And there's one line in it, right, Tabitha, where the actor sort of says, if you've lived a whole life and you haven't been depressed at one point in your life, then there's probably something wrong with you.
You
know, like, it's quite beautiful.
Now, Tabitha, you're the sound magician here on the show. I've heard that sound plays a big role. How does sound add quite a lot to this play?
It's kind of interesting, like, because the whole play is kind of through the lens of this person, and it's all of their memories, and so all of the music is kind of attached to those memories for them. It's like they kind of live their life through music in a lot of ways, and so it's like you're in the car, what's playing, and you're in the living room, what's playing, and like all of these songs that have kind of attached themselves to their life and can kind of take them back there as well, as being the thing that they think is kind of setting them free.
Which is what I think music does for a lot of people in real life, and I did that for me as well.
Yeah.
What are the tunes that we can expect to hear?
Ray Charles, Drown in My Own Tears.
I love Ray Charles. Yeah. Nice.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Etta James.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Cab Calloway.
Cab Calloway. Classic.
Gorgeous, gorgeous music. We've got one big number in the middle, Move On Up.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis.
I love Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And that's the one that plays the longest through the sort of whole section. It's a real build where, because the list suddenly jumps from going to 1,000 list things to 1,000,000. So it's quite a jump that the actor makes through that song as well. It's great.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Do you want to give some tickets away?
We could give some tickets away. Maybe we can do that next week. Okay. We're already running another giveaway this morning.
Oh, good. Okay, back it up, Larry.
Behind the scenes action there, Larry.
Sorry.
Actually, speaking of tickets, though, where can people buy tickets?
Okay, it's through the Try Booking site.
Mm-hmm.
So trybooking.com, and you can just put search Every Brilliant Thing. Or if you see one of our posters around, there's a QR code you can zap that. and it'll take you right there. So it doesn't mean that I can't do a door sale if you decide to turn up at the last minute.
But preferred to have it in advance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll do that. We'll do old school if you want to do old school.
For sure. Well, I thank you both for your time. Do you want to leave our lovely listeners with any final regards?
Tabitha,
Oh, don't be scared to come, guys. It'll be fine.
It's so beautiful. And we actually need you, because we need a minimum of 40 people to make this show really hum. And what your ticket goes toward is providing sustainable opportunities for artists in Dunedin, so that professional actors, creatives will stay in Dunedin, keep working here, and not have to go elsewhere.
Yes, the theatre community here has been pretty thrashed in the past few years, just with the infrastructure for theatre sort of drying up a little bit. So yeah, it's really something that matters quite a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for your support.
Of course. Thank you for coming on the program, and look forward to seeing this play. Cheers, y'all. Folks, that was Tabitha Littlejohn as well as Laura McGregor. We're talking to them about their new play, Every Brilliant Thing, which opens next Wednesday. They mentioned that Ray Charles is going to be playing on the soundtrack. So we have got...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.